The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
First and foremost, though, I want to talk about how sports governing bodies are dealing with the trans athlete issue. It's something we've talked about on this show. We spoke to Sonia O'Sullivan not too long ago, an athlete who needs no introduction in this country, and she expressed reservations about trans athletes competing against women, cis women athletes. We spoke to Tenny off the back of that to hear the other views. Sarah Phillips and Tenny joined us in studio. Some of the governing bodies, though, themselves have started to wrestle with this problem, this issue, this difficulty, and it is not straightforward, despite however some people describe it. Sean Ingle is the chief sports reporter with The Guardian, and he joins me now. Sean, you're welcome to the show. We might start with swimming, because it was swimming that focused a lot of people's attention on this relatively recently, with kind of collegiate championships in the United States. FINA is the world governing body there. What have they done?
Well, on Sunday, they had an extraordinary general congress, and they invited all their swimming federations. They did a bunch of presentations from scientists, from human rights experts, and so on. And they decided by a large majority to restrict transgender women from the elite female category. So it means Leah Thomas, the American swimmer, she won the American College Champs at over 500 meters. If she wanted to compete in the Olympics now, her path would now be barred.
So how have they made this determination, or what is going to be the dividing line? Because some sports had looked at testosterone levels, and that if you artificially kept them low, athletes would be allowed to compete. FINA seem to have gone a different way.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple of things here. For years, as you said, I think sports have tried to have keep everyone happy. They tried to sort of have fairness, safety, and trans inclusion. And so this is how they came up with this, the testosterone policy a few years ago. Now, a couple of things have happened since then. One is the science has generally shown that even when you take testosterone, reduce your testosterone rather, you still have a retained advantage. And secondly, a few months ago, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, basically said to the sports, look, you decide among yourselves, but testosterone probably isn't the answer. So swimmers are one of the first to say, put their hands up and say, you know what, the evidence suggests that transgender women have a retained advantage. Therefore, we are going to protect the women's category by barring them. But they do say they're going to come up with an open category, which is about ill-defined at the moment, where trans men and women will be able to compete.
Oh, okay. So there's going to be a third category. Anyone can compete in?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's... I was trying to get to the bottom of this yesterday. I'm not sure whether it's a sort of an everyone category. You know, you're welcome to come along and join, you know, whatever, you know, your beliefs, your how you identify, et cetera.
Yeah.
Or whether it's a genuine third category, which you might even have trans men that are born as women and take testosterone and have to compete, and trans women who are born as men but have to reduce testosterone and be going up against each other. It's all very unclear at the moment.
All right. Okay. So at least when it comes to, I suppose, the two traditional categories, FINA have made this determination. Whether people agree or not, that's their position. Still a bit of ironing out to do on this possibility of an open category. What about the UCI? This is the governing body for cycling internationally. And cycling was another sport where this had kind of come to the attention of a lot of people recently.
Yeah, now cycling got down a different road, if you forgive the pun. They have decided to compel trans gender women to reduce their testosterone for 2 years and a low limit in order to compete in the women's category, but they are allowing them to do so. And there's also in their policy document, there's an interesting line in there where it seems to suggest that fair competition is not necessarily essential, and trans inclusion is perhaps just as important. It says in there, it's a little bit confusing, but I'll read it to you. It says, it may not be necessary or even possible to eliminate all individual advantages held by a transgender. It is paramount, however, that all athletes compete and have a chance to succeed, albeit not necessarily an equal chance, and in line with the true essence of sport. Now, it's a little bit cryptic, but to most people, I think it seems to say
as long as you've not got someone that's like beating everyone out of sight, there may be a scope there for allowing trans participation into female sport.
All right. Okay. So it's interesting that the UCI and AFINA, governing bodies of two huge international sports going different directions. What about athletics? The governing body for World Athletics, Sebastian Coe, the former British athlete, is the top man there. Do we have an indication of what they might do?
Well, they are going to meet at the end of the year, and the strong vibes are they will go down the same route as swimming. Sebastian Coe spoke to a few of us yesterday. He said in his mind, fairness was non-negotiable, and if he had to choose between women's sport and inclusion, he would go down the women's sport line. I mean, I guess the sort of the starting point in all this is that the gap between, if you look at most athletics, men's world records and women's world records, the gap is between 10 and 13%. Usain Bolt, 9.58, the world record. Well, the women's world record by Florence Griffith Joyner is nearly a second slower. So therefore, if Coe's position is essentially, if you can't reduce the difference between when you take testosterone, there is an unfair advantage, and he thinks that sport and athletics has to deal with it.
Yeah, that was, in fairness, whether people agreed or disagreed, and people did both on text that day, with Sonia O'Sullivan's argument. She was essentially that, she was one of the best, and at times the best athlete in the world at her distance. But, very good club athletes, male athletes in Ireland, would have run faster than her. That was the difference, between the categories as she saw it, which is why she was expressing reservations. It's interesting. So athletics looking like it's going to go down the swimming route, and if an athlete has experienced male puberty, they probably won't be able to compete. But as you say, that meeting at the end of the year, FIFA, then, the governing body for football, what are the rules there, and are they going to change?
Their rules are essentially the rules that most sports have at the moment, that if you're a transgender woman, you have to reduce your testosterone for a year to 5 nanomils, and then you're allowed to play in the women's category. There's been various sort of stories and briefings. There was, I think, at least one of their draft documents explored the possibility of self-ID. So you could essentially say, I'd like to play in the women's category. But yesterday they were briefing, actually, they're more likely to quote unquote follow the science on this, which again has led people to think, although it's not yet certain, they may also go down swimming's route. A lot of people, though, here in sport are very uncomfortable with the whole issue. I think a lot of them I speak to just wish it would go away. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, because it's such a volatile and such an emotive issue as well on either side of the debate.
Yeah, it's so emotive. And you can see, I mean, evidence of, how, that's just divisive, but confusing as well it can be for people in the different approaches taken by the different governing bodies. I mean, if there was unanimity right across the board at what they were doing, you might say, well, maybe the solution is simple. But given that the UCI and FINA are both going off different directions, athletics looks like it's following swimming, soccer seems like it's going to be doing something else or nothing in between, there is no simple solution to this.
Well, no. And the great irony in all this is that until November of last year, most sports hid behind the IOC's policy at the time, which was to reduce testosterone. But 8 months ago, it suddenly turned around and said, we don't think testosterone works. But it also said to sports, you must promote inclusivity, and you also must account for fairness, which sort of didn't really leave the sports
Yes.
knowing what to do. But bizarrely, I was chatting to someone in the IOC yesterday, and he said, sports were using us as a fig leaf, so it was right that our cover. So it was right that we gave them the chance. But he said, if we end up having 7 or 8 different policies, the irony is that in a few years' time, the IOC might have to come and say, actually, for sport, for Olympic sports, we need these are the rules. So I think this issue is gonna run and run.
All right. So like, maybe the IOC using all of these governing bodies as something of a kind of a working shop at the moment, maybe to find out what works, what doesn't over the next few years before they have to try and square the circle again. Sean, pleasure. Sean Ingle is the chief sports reporter with The Guardian.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.